Amen. I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's so good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. Yes, today is the fourth day of August. So you see how time flies as I keep reminding and reminding you, and I keep reminding myself. Time flies very, very quickly. And the necessary question that we must ask ourselves is, what have we been doing for the Lord? And I'm serious. Do you ask yourself this question? Do I ask myself this question? What am I doing for the Lord? Or what have I been doing for the Lord? And what am I doing for the Lord now? And if I have been doing something for the Lord, will I be doing better for the Lord? Let us be very, very minded that we be doing better for the Lord. And if we haven't been doing anything for Him, let us start doing for Him. Let us say, Lord, I want to serve You. I want to bring honor and glory to You. The Lord may come any time. Yes, it may be today. Remember that chorus? The Lord may come any time. Let us be well prepared for His soon return. The subject this morning is, can we know the mind of God? Can we know the mind of God? Of course we can't know the mind of God except that God reveals His mind to us. And I speak from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 to possibly 14 or 16 or so. Now, one thing I didn't feel comfortable about years ago when I was working for my secular employer was having to meet my big boss. I always shuddered when I thought of meeting the big boss. Now, why? First of all, I didn't know whether he was too busy to see me or not. And I didn't know what kind of frame of mind he was in, whether he had been just scolded by his big boss or not. So I do not know. I did not know. And then I did not know also whether the matter that was going to bring up to him was something that was worthy of his attention. I couldn't have known. Now, how I wish I had was able to know the mind of the boss. Or the next best thing is, of course, if there was somebody who could reveal his mind to me. Now, of course, I thought of the secretary in those days. The secretary would possibly be one who was very close to the big boss. But still, she would not be able to clearly tell me what was, or she would not be able entirely to tell me what was in the boss's mind. At best, what she could tell me was the availability of the boss. She said, all right, this is the time the boss is available. Would you like to see the boss at this time? That was the best she could tell me. But what was in the boss's mind? Who could know? Only the boss knew what was in his own mind. And if he didn't reveal what was in his mind to me, I could not have known what was in his mind. Likewise, my dear friends, people would not know what is in your mind, except you reveal what is in your mind to those who are interested to know. Yes, and so the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? For what man can a person know what is another man is thinking? No, he's not able to know what another man is thinking, except that man himself. Only that man himself can know what he's thinking in his own mind. Now, what about God? What about God? Can we know Him? Can we know His mind? Can we know the things of God? Can we know the things which God has prepared for them that love Him? Can we know these things? The answer is, of course, no. We are not able to know. And so we read in verse 9, but as it is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man, entered into the mind of man, if you like, the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. We need God Himself to reveal His things to us. We need Him to reveal His mind to us. We need Him to reveal the things which He has prepared for us, to us. My dear friends, does He reveal all these things to us? I say He does. Yes, He does. And He does it through His mighty Holy Spirit. Yes. So this morning I want to begin by talking about the need for the revealer, the mighty Holy Spirit, to enable us to perceive the things which he has revealed to us. We need him to enable us to perceive. And number two, I want to talk about the Holy Spirit being the qualified revealer. Yes, we need him to enable us to perceive the things which he reveals to us, and we need, and I want to talk about the Holy Spirit being the qualified revealer. And finally, how the Holy Spirit reveals the things of God to us. Now first, let's talk about the need for the revealer, the Holy Spirit, to enable us to perceive the things which God has revealed to us. Now, verse 9. Let me read that again for you again. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. It is true, God has created us with this pair of eyes. Yes, this pair of eyes, so that we may be able to see, so that we may be able to see the beauty of things around us. With this pair of eyes, we are able to see the beautiful sky, we are able to see the beautiful mountains, beautiful lakes, beautiful rivers, and of course with this pair of eyes, we are able to see beautiful trees, beautiful flowers, and we are able to see people, of course. And with them, with this pair of eyes, we are able to appreciate and adore those whom we love. Our parents, our daughter, our child, our son, our boyfriend, our girlfriend. Yes, and then with this pair of eyes, of course, we are able to appreciate the house that we have bought, the car that we have bought. But friends, no matter how perceptive this pair of physical eyes is, my dear friends, they are not able, this pair of eyes is not able to see things that are spiritual, things that are invisible, things that are eternal, no matter how good they are physically. Spiritually, they are not able to see things that are spiritual, things that are eternal, things that are invisible. We have physical eyesight, of course, but we don't have spiritual eyesight. We need God's Holy Spirit to open our spiritual eyesight. We need him to give us spiritual eyesight. And it is only when our spiritual eyes are open that we will be able to see things that are eternal, things that are invisible, and things that are spiritual. And it is only when our eyes are open that we will be able to see how beautiful, how great, and how wonderful the things which God has prepared for those that love him, as the word in the verse 9 says. Yes, the things which God has prepared for them that love him. We will not be able to see them, except that God opens our spiritual eyes. I read about this young man who was blind from birth. And then he fell in love with this girl. And then they decided to get married. But of course, he couldn't see the girl, and so he didn't know how this girl looked like. And he had no visual concept of beauty. Not at all. He didn't know how pretty or how his fiancée looked like. But anyway, they decided to get married. And then with the advancement of medical science, apparently there was a possibility that he might receive his sight again. He needed to go for an operation, and it was recommended to him. And he decided to undergo that operation because there was nothing to lose as far as he was concerned. After all, he was already blind. Then as the wedding, so he underwent the operation. And as the wedding approached, it was about time that he was to remove his bandage over his eyes. But he decided not to have the bandage removed. Then came the crucial moment on the wedding day when the bride and groom said, "I do to one another." And then he had this bandage removed from his eyes. And lo and behold, he could see. He received his eyesight. And he looked at his bride and he said, "You are more beautiful than I thought and imagined and dreamt you were." Yes. Until then, he could not appreciate the looks of his wife. Now, if your spiritual eyes are not open, the things of God would mean nothing to you, just as this groom did not or was not able to appreciate, or this groom had no visual concept of the beauty of his bride. Yes, and in fact, the things of God would sound, might sound foolish to you if you do not have spiritual eyesight. But once the Holy Spirit opens your spiritual eyesight, when you are able to see spiritual things, you will appreciate more and more how wondrous, how great the things which God has prepared for us. Until then, you will have no idea the wonderful things which God has prepared for you who love God. Yes. Now, God has created us with spiritual ears, or physical ears, rather. Now, with them, we can hear and, of course, appreciate music. And we can know how beautiful music is. We, with our physical ears, we can hear the voices of our loved ones, voices of children, voices of our relatives, voices of our friends. And with these ears, of course, we can listen to many things. And we can listen to God's word with this pair of physical ears. But you know what the sad truth is? The sad truth is we can listen with this pair of physical ears, but we can listen with unhearing ears. Listen with unhearing ears. Why? Why don't we hear? We listen, but why don't we hear? My dear friends, we are not able to hear because we are spiritually deaf. That's why. We can't hear the spiritual message because spiritual messages have to be heard with ears of faith. So, my dear friends, today if you are not hearing when the word is spoken to you, you might be spiritually deaf. That's the reason why you don't have any idea what the message means. I remember years ago when I was not converted yet, when I went to church, the messages preached by the preachers from the pulpit meant nothing to me. Why? Because I was spiritually deaf. I still remember Reverend Timothy Toh preaching from the pulpit, and he always sounded as if he was droning. He sounded as if he was going on and on and on and on. And I told myself, oh, I wish he would stop. I wish he would stop. But he continued. Yes, I didn't understand what he was saying, or at least I didn't care what he was saying. But what a difference his messages sounded to me after I was born again, after I was converted. And as years went by, I grew to appreciate his messages more and more. I discovered the great depths of wisdom in the word that he preached. My spiritual ears were open, that's why. I could understand, I could appreciate the spiritual things. Now this morning I ask you, are your spiritual ears open, or are they deaf? Friends, I'm speaking to you now. Are your spiritual ears open? Now, my dear friends, if your spiritual ears are not open, God's word will mean nothing to you. I can shout at the top of my voice. I can try to explain as carefully as I'm able to. Yes, but the word means nothing to you. You know why? Because you're spiritually deaf. You can't hear. Yes, you might appear to be listening, but you are not hearing. Yes. Now the scribes and Pharisees during the time of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this earth, of course, had physical ears like ours. The Lord preached, and they heard him preach, but they refused to believe. When he spoke the truth, they said that he was speaking deception. He was speaking blasphemy. And when he preached good, they said that he was speaking evil. You know why? Because they had ears, but they heard not. Their spiritual ears were not open. But look at these same people, or at least some of them, on the day of Pentecost, when their spiritual ears were opened by God's mighty Holy Spirit. Their hearts were pricked. And I read for you their reaction when their ears were opened. Acts chapter 2, verses 37 and 38. I read for you the word, these words recorded here. Now when they heard this, that this here refers to the preaching of Peter and his fellow apostles. The message was simply this: you are murderers. You killed the Lord Jesus Christ. You crucified him. He was buried, but he rose up from the dead on the third day. That simply was the message preached by Peter and his fellow apostles. And the word of God says, when they heard this, when they heard this message, they were pricked in their heart. and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? You think they would say that before this time? No, when their heart was not open, they say, You are speaking blasphemy, you are speaking deception. But now they say, Lord, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. You shall receive everlasting life. You will be born again. Yes. Now this morning, if your spiritual ears are not open, the gospel message means nothing to you. Alright, you might be asking, why? I don't understand. Why is it I can't believe and so forth? Friends, it is because your spiritual ears are not open. You are not hearing. Yes. I pray that you will respond. I pray that God's Holy Spirit will speak to you this morning. Open your spiritual ears so that you will hear God's truth and come and trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Now, God has given us a mind. He's given us physical eyes, physical ears. He has given us a physical mind. Now, this mind of man is a wonderful mind. It has discovered and conceived many things, built many things. Now, two great things, of course, that we have in Sydney here that have been conceived by man and were built by man have become global icons of Sydney, namely the Sydney Opera House and the Harbour Bridge. Yes? Then think of the pyramids of Egypt, built by the ancient Egyptians. And think of the Great Wall of China. And then think of the jet planes that we fly in that we don't think very much about. And think of the fact that some 40 years ago, man had already landed on the moon. And all these great things, my dear friends, were first of all conceived by man and finally built by man. Think about it. And all these achievements had to be conceived by man, first of all, before they were achieved. Yes, my friends, great as the human mind may be, it is spiritually dead. Spiritually dead, even though it can be great, but spiritually it is dead if it's not made alive by God's mighty Holy Spirit. It has to be made alive by Him. My dear friends, this mind cannot appreciate and believe the spiritual things of God, the things which God had prepared for those who love Him, if this mind is not made alive by God's mighty Holy Spirit. Now we have the classic case of Lydia, yes, the seller of purple who came from the city of Thyatira. Yes, she heard the gospel through the great apostle Paul in the city of Philippi when Paul went on his second missionary journey when he came to the city of Philippi. And this is recorded for us in Acts chapter 16. I think it's worthwhile for us to look at this familiar passage. Acts chapter 16 and verses 13 to 15. Acts chapter 16, verses 13 to 15. Let me read for you. And on the Sabbath day, we, means Paul and company, went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. Apparently the women folk also came to the riverside, possibly to do some kind of worship. Verse 14. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul, whose heart or whose mind the Lord opened, that she attended to the things which were spoken of God, of Paul. Not before that, she would not attend to things, she would not give attention to what Paul was saying. She could not receive the things spoken by Paul. But once her heart was open, once her mind was open, she was able to receive. Verse 15. And when she was baptized, you see, once she believed, she was baptized, and her household, she besought us, saying, If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us until her spiritual heart was open, she was spiritually dead. And the one who opened her heart, of course, was none other than the Holy Spirit. Yes, if your heart is not open, if your spiritual mind is not open, the things of God might appear foolish to you, as recorded for us in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Look at verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Yes, because he's a natural man, his spiritual understanding is not open. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Spiritual things have to be spiritually discerned, and only the Holy Spirit dwelling in us will enable us to discern things which are spiritual. But see what happens once the Holy Spirit opens the heart of a natural man. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit which is of God, meaning the Holy Spirit, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. But once he comes into our hearts, when the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts, he will enable us to know that the things that are freely given to us by the one true living God. Until then, we will not know. But once he comes in, opens our spiritual understanding, we will be able to receive the things freely given to us by the one true living God. And we'll believe those things which the Lord wants us to know. Britain one time had this famous prime minister by the name of William Pitt. Now, William Pitt entered into politics as a young man. He was barely out of his 20s when he entered into politics. And he was a very brilliant young man. You see how brilliant he was. At the age of 24, he became the Chancellor of the Exchequer of Britain. You know Chancellor of the Exchequer? The equivalent of what? Our treasurer here. Yes? And he became the treasurer of Britain at the age of 24. So you know how brilliant that mind was. But he was not a believer. One day he went to a meeting, a Christian meeting, at which Lord Cecil spoke. Lord Cecil was a believer and he spoke at the meeting. And then seated to William Pitt was this man called Wilberforce. Wilberforce was also a believer. And then at the end of Cecil's message, Wilberforce asked William Pitt, "Hey, now what do you think of that message?" And you know what he said? I read to you what he said. "Now, to tell you the truth, I gave that man, Cecil, my most careful attention, but I was wholly unable to understand what he was talking about." Can you imagine? A brilliant man, he said, "I can't understand what he's talking about." Because he was talking about spiritual things. The real problem with William Pitt was that his spiritual understanding was not opened by God's Holy Spirit. That's why he couldn't understand. Yes, he was brilliant, but heart not open, and so he couldn't understand. How through the Word of God? But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. We really need God's mighty Holy Spirit to open our spiritual understanding before we can know the things of God. If we are unconverted, we are spiritually blind, spiritually deaf. Yes, and our mind is shut to spiritual things. Yes, we are spiritually dead in trespasses and sin. We need God's mighty Holy Spirit to make us alive so that we may be able to understand the things which, and know the things which God has freely given to us, which God has prepared for them who love him. But friends, our spiritual understanding might be open, spiritual ears might be open, spiritual eyes might be open, but we'll still not be able to understand or know the things of God, except that the things must be revealed to us. Isn't it true? We can have all these facilities, these spiritual faculties, all right, ready to receive these things from God. But they have to be revealed to us. Unless they are revealed to us, we cannot know them. And who should be revealing these things to us? God's Holy Spirit. He is the one who is the qualified revealer. So we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, "For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the spirit of God. Only the spirit of God knows the things of God." Only he, because he knows the things of God, is able to reveal the things of God to us. Like the mind of a man knows all the thoughts and intents of the man, so the Holy Spirit is the only one who knows the things of God. Now the difference is, of course, when man knows about himself, he knows only almost, not everything about himself. Alright, but when the Holy Spirit knows the things of God, he knows everything and everything about God, and all the things about God. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit is God, that's why. And so we read in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 verse 10, "But God hath revealed them to us by his Spirit." Now listen, "For the Spirit searches all things." He searches all things. Yea, the deep things of God. The Spirit searches all things. In other words, there is nothing about God that escapes his searching. He searches and he knows everything about God. He knows everything and everything about God, even the deep things of God. That is why the Holy Spirit qualifies to reveal God to us. That is why he qualifies to reveal the mind of God to us. In the book of Job, we read, "Canst thou by searching find out God? Canst thou find out the Almighty unto perfection?" What's the answer? Can you find out God? Can you search out God? Can you? The answer is no, of course, we can't. Yes, we cannot know God until God reveals himself to us. We can't. We look up into the sky at night and say, "Oh, how beautiful the sky." And we say like the psalmist, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where the voice is not heard." And we look at creation, yes, the creation of God, and we say there must be a creator, and this creator must be very, very powerful. He must be very, very knowledgeable. That's why he's able to create these things that he has created. Yes. But friends, that is a very vague understanding of God. Very vague knowledge of God. It is a very, very dark guess of who God is or what God is. Yes, still a dark guess. You look at the creation, you say there must be a creator. He's powerful, he's all-knowing, but it's still a very dark guess of who he is. No, my dear friends, we will not be able to know who God really is and the mind of God and the things of God, except God's Holy Spirit were to reveal him and reveal them to us. And he is the only one, the Holy Spirit is the only one who is able to reveal the one true living God to us. Why? Because he searches all things of God. He knows everything and everything about God. He has perfect knowledge of God because he is God himself. He is the one who reveals God perfectly to us. And he's the one who reveals, he's the one who revealed scriptural truth. Yes. And so we read in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 21. Good for us to look at this verse. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 21. You see, he reveals scriptural truth to us. 2 Peter 1 21. I read for you this verse. "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." The Holy Ghost revealed to men of God, moved men of God to pen the word of God, so that men will write down the word of God and give us the word of God today. That was how the prophets wrote God's word. God, the Holy Spirit revealed God's word to them and moved them to write God's word. And that was how the apostles wrote God's word, and that was how the great apostle Paul wrote God's word. And so we read from verse 10 to verse 12. In, again, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 to 12. I read for you again. Yes, But God has revealed them to us, unto us by His Spirit. Yes, when the Holy Spirit of God moved the great apostle Paul and caused him to write those words that we have in Holy Scripture today. But God has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Now I'd like us to examine the truth given to us in verse 12. Look at verse 12 again. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, meaning the Holy Spirit, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. We have not the spirit of the world, but we have the Spirit which is of God. Had we not received the Spirit of God, would we know the things that God has freely given to us? No way. There simply is no way that we would be able to know the things of God. But there was a day in our life when God, through His grace, through His mighty Holy Spirit, knocked on our heart's door, and we responded, and we opened our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, strictly speaking, who was it who opened our heart's door? Was it we? No, my dear friends, it wasn't we who opened our heart's door. It was the Holy Spirit who caused us to open our door. It was He actually who opened our heart's door, just as He opened Lydia's heart. Yes, the Holy Spirit opened our heart's door, and then we received the Lord Jesus Christ into our heart. And the Lord Jesus Christ came into our heart and started dwelling in us in the person of the Holy Spirit. Yes, our receiving Christ, let's understand the truth. This truth is the same as receiving God's Holy Spirit. When we receive Christ, we receive God's Holy Spirit, because Christ comes to dwell in us in the person of the Holy Spirit, and then we all become sons and daughters of the one true living God. And after the Holy Spirit came in, He opened our spiritual understanding so that we might know the things of God, the things which God has freely given unto us. Yes, we then knew freely. When we came to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, we knew that God has freely given us salvation. We then knew that God has promised us abundant life. We then knew that God has made us as and joined as with the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we knew also that God has made us to be kings and priests unto the one true living God. And God's Holy Spirit also enabled us to know that one day the Lord Jesus Christ will return, and we'll see Him face to face, and then we shall rule with Him. My friends, we would not have this spiritual understanding before the Holy Spirit came into us. But the day He came into us, opened our spiritual understanding, and we understood these truths. Now, when we think of this truth, that God very, very graciously gave us His Holy Spirit, so that we might know the things that God has freely given unto us. What ought we to do? When we think of this truth, God has given His Holy Spirit to come into me so that I can understand all this beautiful, wonderful spiritual truth. What ought I to do? My dear friends, I really ought to go on to my knees and give thanks unto the Lord and say, Lord, thank You for giving me Your Holy Spirit. Thank You, O Lord, for sending Him to cause me to open my spiritual heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that I could receive the Holy Spirit into me, so that now I have Him in my heart, and He enables me to know the things which You have prepared for me from eternity past. Yes. Isn't that the right thing for us to do? Go on our knees to thank God for God's Holy Spirit. Have we ever done that? Thank God for God's Holy Spirit who has come to dwell in your heart. My dear friends, we ought to go on our knees and be very, very thankful that God has given us His Holy Spirit. And how does the Holy Spirit reveal to us the things of God? That's my final point. How? Yes, He is the qualified revealer. Now, how does He reveal the things of God to us? Today, does He speak to us through dreams and visions and through voices? The answer is no. He doesn't speak to us that way in that way anymore, because God's revelation that is needed for us to know the will of God and to know the way of salvation has been complete. When the last word of the book of Revelation was written, God says, full stop, no more revelation. That's what it means, no more revelation. The revelation is complete. Yes, God today does not speak to us through dreams, visions, and voices. And let us be very, very careful. Let's take heed to God's warning given to us in the last few verses of the book of Revelation. I'd like us to look at Revelation 22. All right, the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation. I read for you a couple of verses from this chapter. Verse 18. This is the warning served to us by the one true living God. Okay? No more new revelation. Verse 18. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. So let's be very, very careful. When God says that he will add plagues to us, let us be very, very careful that we not think that God will give us new revelation. 19. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Today, the Lord will always reveal to us his will through his word. He doesn't give us new revelation. He doesn't give us fresh revelation. It is always through his word. So how may we know his will? My dear friends, no other ways except that we study God's word diligently, systematically. We have to study God's word, and then we must meditate on God's word. Then we will know the will of the one true living God for us. Very often people ask, how may I know God's will? How may I know God's will? The only way for us to know God's will is for us to read God's word and read it diligently, systematically. Yes, and meditate on God's word. And then you will know God's will for your life. And then some misuse the word of God and think that the Holy Spirit leads to what is known as bibliomancy. I think I said this before, bibliomancy. Bibliomancy was a word is a word coined by Reverend Timothy Toh, the late Reverend Timothy Toh. Yes, what it means is this. Yes, through bibliomancy, people will flip open the Bible. All right, just like playing a game of chance. Flip open the Bible, and then when the verse that stands out from the Word of God, from the Bible, and the person sees that verse, says, yeah, this is God's will for me for my life today. You see? God does not speak to us in that manner. God does not show his will to us in that manner. Yes, he shows his will to us through a very, very systematic study of his word. And we must meditate on his word. Then we'll be able to know his will. And his Holy Spirit will always make his will known to us through his word. As I said, John 16 verse 13 says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you unto all truth. The Holy Spirit has already come. And today he dwells in our heart. And he will guide us unto all truth. Truth that is in this word, of course, my dear friends. He will guide us unto all truth. We will have a good understanding of his will, my dear friends, if we read his word, meditate on it. Yes? And his will becomes very clear to us. Next, see how the Holy Spirit teaches. I'd like us to look at 1 Corinthians 2, verse 13. Which things also we speak, Paul says, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches. See how he teaches. But which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Now what does that mean? It means this, that the Holy Spirit will speak to us through the Word of God, of course. Now, when we read one passage, it is very, very important that we not take what we read out of context. So in order that we not take the things that we read out of context, then we must compare one passage of Scripture with another passage of Scripture, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. right? We cannot just take a passage isolatedly and say, this is what it means. This is how it should be interpreted. No, my dear friends, we must always look at other passages and compare Scripture with Scripture so that we have a correct interpretation of scriptural truth. Then when we think of the Holy Spirit as our teacher, teaching and revealing God's truth to us, aren't we very, very grateful that we have this very, very unique teacher? We don't recognize him as the unique teacher, but he's the unique and he's the best teacher to teach us the Word of God. Now, I have often heard parents, or sometimes, not often, sometimes parents telling me about how their children learn under different teachers or under different tutors. The son might be very weak in mathematics, for example, and then they send the son to a tutor. Then instead of the son's grades improving, the son's grades seem to be retrogressing. And so the parent gets very worried and pulls the son out under the tutelage of this teacher and provides another tutor for him. And this time, the grades improve. And then the parents say, yeah, you see, the grades of my child have improved because the teacher is good. The teacher is able to motivate my son to study God's Word. Yes, or study his mathematics, and so he's able to do well. My dear friends, how important it is that we have a good teacher. And we have the best teacher, the unique teacher, to teach us the things that God has revealed to us. He is none other than God's Holy Spirit. Aren't we very, very grateful, my dear friends, that we have such a teacher? Do you recognize that you have such a teacher, my dear friends? We have the Holy Spirit. Let us make full use of this teacher that is in us to understand God's truth. Eye hath not seen, ear hath not heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. It is true, friends, with our physical eyes, with our physical ears, and with our physical minds, we will never be able to know the things of God, the things which he has prepared for them that love him. But we thank God, there was a day when God's Holy Spirit made us alive. He gave us spiritual understanding. He opened our spiritual understanding, opened our spiritual minds, opened our spiritual eyes, opened our spiritual ears. And we understood the things of God. Yes, because the Holy Spirit enables us to understand the things which God has prepared for them that love him. Now, the Holy Spirit is well able to reveal the things of God to us. We can have all these spiritual faculties, but friends, we will still not be able to know the things of God except that the Holy Spirit reveals them to us. And the Holy Spirit is the qualified revealer of God, the things of God, because he searches the deep things of God. He knows everything and everything about God. Unless he reveals God to us, we will not be able to know him. Unless he reveals to us the mind of God, we will not be able to know the mind of God. The question is also this: how does he reveal his word to us? How does he reveal the mind of God to us? He reveals the mind of God to us through his word. Through his word, which means, my dear friends, we have to study his word, meditate on his word, so that we may be able to know what the Lord is saying to us. And if we want to know God's will, we need this wonderful teacher to show us the will of God. Yes, and he always guides us through his word. He will guide us into all truth. He will always guide us through his word. Now the question is, do you have the Holy Spirit in you? You want to know these deep spiritual things about God, but do you have the Holy Spirit in you? If you don't have him, you can never ever understand the things of God, spiritual things of God. You can never ever know the mind of God. You need the Holy Spirit to enable you to know the will of God and the things of God. And the only way for him to come into you is for you to receive the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. If you have him as your Savior, if you receive him into your heart, the Holy Spirit will come into you right away, because the Lord Jesus comes into us in the person of God's mighty Holy Spirit. So what are you waiting for, my dear friends? If you want to know the mind of God, you want to know the will of God, come trust Jesus as Lord and Savior. Amen. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of God's mighty Holy Spirit. Lord, we thank you that he has come into us to dwell in us. And we thank you for this wonderful teacher, the unique and the best teacher who has come to dwell in us, to show us the truth of God, to reveal him to us. And we thank you that his coming in has caused us to have our spiritual understanding open, our spiritual ears open, our spiritual eyes open, so that we may be able to understand the things of God. Father, we thank you for this great and wonderful gift. And we pray for those who are still outside your kingdom, who do not know who do not have the presence of the Holy Spirit in them. We pray, O Lord God, that you speak to them today. May they open their hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ, so that the Holy Spirit may be able to come into them, to teach them your things, to teach them your will, so that they may have everlasting life, so that they may know how to have abundant life in the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray and ask all this in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.